Second day.
Okay, where are we?
A281, second column, down at the bottom. I think I mentioned this last time, but it won't hurt to repeat it. Look over on 283, footnote 114. Yeah. excuse me, page 23, footnote 114. Basically how he says, you know, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about here. So just remember that. This refers to a scene in the text describing how Jung reduced Isdabar to the...
is that right?
Yeah, to the size of an egg. That's just coming up, but I'm setting the groundwork. He could scarcely carry Isdabar into the house and enable his healing. Jung said to Anila Yaffe concerning these sections that some of the fantasies were driven by fear, such as the chapter on the devil that's coming up, and the chapter on Gilgamesh Isdabar. From one perspective, it was stupid that he had to find a way to help the giant, but he felt that if he didn't do so, he would have fainted.
Failed.
He had paid for the ridiculous solution to realizing that he had captured a god. Many of these many of these fantasies were a hellish combination of the sublime and the ridiculous. So just as we do this, remember, he's just feeling his way. He's going to say things in one paragraph that contradict each other. But that's the nature of the process.
I wonder why he says hellish there.
Well, he was going through hell.
Probably he's going through hell, yeah. And I think that's overly hard, what he says. He was down on himself, probably.
But what, calling it stupid?
Well, hellish.
Probably would have felt. From one perspective, it was stupid. It seems to me like it was essential.
Yeah.
The stupid is like a nod to man daring to equate himself with the gods.
Well, Jung could get down on himself, no doubt. Remember that last letter he wrote? One of the last letters he said, I've wasted my life. Everything I've written is just, you know, I didn't fulfill my purpose. Jesus.
Where's that leave us, huh?
So he could get down.
Well, when those images are coming to you and you don't know what it is, you would write whatever hits you.
Yeah.
Because you haven't figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's too hard, but it also tells me that these are initial formulations, so we have to allow him that space to experiment with these images.
Everything when you're in a deep depression, everything is just anything that makes sense just gets pulled out. Looks like you can't learn something new unless somebody jars what you already think.
Well, some of what he says in here, I think we can see, is an inadequate solution. That's what I would take as the sense of his comment. He says he kills God. He says he puts God in his pocket. Well, that's just inflation, you know. But only after he says that does he then go back and reevaluate what he's just said. And I think a lot of what he's writing it initially in this chapter is straight from Freud. Freud would be the one that says, God's a fantasy. Freud's the one that says, you know, God is something that we make. So he's trying out these ideas, and then he realizes, no, that's not right. So that's how I understood the sense in that comment. I don't know, do we want to say anything about the Z? I'm not sure there's anything here.
Now, what is that?
Z is Zweiter.
If that is historiate initial 46?
46.
There's the egg.
I guess there's something to say. Okay, anything else?
Plants
again, about that. Chemicals. See, what is the Z? Is the first word meaning?
Zweiter is second.
Second.
Eins, zwei, gesüffel. That's a beer drinking song. Courthouse. Eins, zwei, gesüffel. Not that I've ever sung it.
I wonder why the corners are blue. And you see it's red.
A little bit of blue there, it looks like, too.
Yeah.
Or is that just chip?
To me.
Let me throw on the lights. Maybe that's...
It looks like paint. Well, he probably painted white and then painted with the gold, so he could get the maximum.
He probably accidentally blew that on his brush.
That's what I think.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Because he was painting on vellum.
I'm not used to it, right?
Yeah, it's sort of a creamy colored stuff. Uh-huh. So if you underpainted in white, then you get the maximum effect from the gold.
I see.
Is it a true vellum?
I think it was, right?
Casket?
Or sheepskin?
Wow.
Is that a casket?
Only casket.
Yeah,
sheep is...
Heart.
Hmm.
Well,
sapphire,
wisdom,
blue. I didn't even thought of it. Because things are going to start to change. All these questions we've had are going to appear and then be resolved. And not necessarily in this chapter, but in the next chapter. This one in the next chapter. We're going to see the rebirth of God. Which I would take to mean the rebirth of his understanding of itself.
By the way, when I was in Paris, I saw a bulletin on a restaurant we were at, and they were having a Red Book seminar.
No.
In presentation at some museum.
I'll be darned.
Wow. I was, oh my God. It's going to be in.
Wow.
Yeah. I should have written down where.
Yes. I'll tell my friends about that. Maybe they could get in to see it. I bet. Paris, Red Book, huh? Museum, yeah. Okay. Write that down. Oh, forget it.
I can't believe their house is only 20 miles from Bone.
From?
Bone, B-E-A.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Oh, it's even closer. You were in Pomar, weren't you?
Pomar, yeah.
Yeah, it's 15 miles from Pomar.
Where are you
staying?
Friends,
your
friends?
Mm-hmm. Every time I... Did you... I know this is all about the Red Book. Did you visit the winery, Pomar?
My husband and his friend, they went to do wine tasting. We were in a bone shop.
Oh.
Okay. We had no wine tasting.
Uh-huh.
But all those... I mean, that whole highway... Yeah,
along here,
the highway drawing through, they call it.
Yeah.
And it has all those little...
That's where we bike, uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, along those routes, yeah. It's magnificent. Okay, second day. Izdebar lay silent, because he's just been lamed. That's what we're picking up now in the context. Uh, this part isn't so rough, so I think we can go through this quickly. Jung doesn't know what to do with him. On page 282, I do not want him to wither away miserably, but where should help come from? Get down a little bit further. I don't want to go blind. What use would that be to Izdubar? And I can't carry this lame one as a blind man either. And here I think an important sentence, what use is science here? Says he's coming up against the limits of scientific knowledge for understanding the inner processes.
He starts that paragraph with, you know, Green gave me a saving word. So he's at that place where it seems like the inner world was a saving word.
Yeah.
And it tempted to go back. I look back to my Western bias, so there's so much knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He feels the pull of that.
Yeah.
In his life. But then this next part that you just read shows what did it find.
Right. Well, you know, what he's moving towards is a discovery of the reality of the psyche. But it hasn't occurred yet. And to the reality of the psyche appearing in images. That hasn't occurred to him yet either. Remember, for Freud, the unconscious is simply fantasy that is unhealthy. The unconscious is based on repressed material. Next paragraph, he says to Izdubar, I'm not going to let you go. I think we can just summarize that column almost. Some of the other things, Izdubar then replies that the Western thinking is poison to him. What Jung will then substitute for Western thinking is symbolic thinking. Because he doesn't know that yet. They talk about, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of each side. Jung says, should I not risk everything? And see, Izdubar says, useless, nothing is gained if you die. But there's an example of a voice you can't listen to. You have to risk everything. Jung realizes they're both in a helpless state. Now, this business, are you a fantasy? That long paragraph at the end of that column, go up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I am basically convinced that Izdubar is hardly real in the ordinary sense, but is a fantasy. That shows Jung still thinking like Freud. Remember, for Freud, religion is a fantasy. Jung will say it, say the same thing, but with a much different meaning.
Are you saying that you think Jung is thinking Freudian and then very quickly makes more of it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because in the next column, he clarifies what he
But he goes back and forth. Look, he'll go back and forth a couple of times, if I remember.
You're saying Freud thought the unconscious was just fantasy.
Yeah.
And religion was too.
Yeah. Freud was an atheist. And he thought, if you believed in God, you did so because you were weak and you needed the fantasy of a God to sustain you. So if you're healthy, you wouldn't need religion. You know, if you look around at religion, sometimes you think, well, he's pretty darn close to the truth. But that doesn't define the essence of religion.
So he clarifies himself right away at the top of the next column.
Yeah, do you want to read that?
Okay. Perhaps I've not made myself clear enough and spoken too much in the language of the Western lands. I did not mean to say that you are not real at all, of course, but only as real as a fantasy. If you could accept this, much would be gained.
What do you think of that?
I don't like the word only.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not...
So he still hasn't quite hit it.
Yeah, okay.
But you can watch his thoughts change in this chapter. Because he knows Freud's partially right. We would say that the psyche speaks in images. Freud would say the psyche is fantasy. And Freud would say the psyche is fantasy and not real. Jung is saying, well, you know, there's something fantasy-like about it. Maybe the fantasy is real. Maybe the image is real. But what he's going to come to is the image is pointing to something real. But he hasn't gotten there yet.
On the last sentence in that first paragraph.
Yeah.
If you can accept this, much would be gained.
Yeah.
So he's calling him the fantasy. He's saying he's not real, but he's asking him to accept it. So right there, this is the first thing. Because if you wouldn't ask somebody who was not real.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, right.
It's not saying I need to accept it. Mm-hmm. It's saying you need to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's betwixt and between. A little further down. So, are you prepared to admit you are a fantasy? If it helps, yes. Two lines down, a fantasy cannot be simply negated and treated with resignation either. It calls for action. So again, I think to the Freudian position, he's saying just to say it's a fantasy doesn't mean it's not asking something of us. See, he's just starting to argue with that position. But later he's going to, you know, he'll say, well, not only is it calling for action, it's a voice of something very real, but he's not there yet. Because soon he's going to say he can put God in his pocket. And then he's going to say, whoa, where did I get that idea? So he's working now with this idea that if we use our language back, words, we'd say that the self is a fantasy. And he's thinking why it's not wrong is that the fantasy is asking something of us, which is true. Remember, Freud's word was wish fulfillment. That these God images are wish fulfillments. And Jung is saying, well, okay, but they are asking something of us. So he's going to try that idea out, and he carries it down into reality. I'm going to carry you down to the Western land. My comrades will happily accommodate such a large fantasy. A little farther down, I'm in danger of being whirled aloft by the wind. I am more in danger of being whirled aloft by the wind, and I'm losing balance because of my load, plunging down to the mountainside.
The inflation you speak of? No,
I think the wind is the real God.
Spirit.
Yeah. So he's got this idea of God, but he shows he's still vulnerable to the real experience of God. Another contradiction. And then he sees Ammonius and the red one. Remember, Ammonius was the old monk, and the red one was the passionate guy. So it's the spirit matter thing again. An interesting interlude. Last paragraph. I don't want a crowd to gather. Since the enlightened live there. Can you smell them? They're actually dangerous because they cook the strongest poisons from which even I must protect myself. What do you make of that?
You need a mob psychology. They thought people lost their individual consciousness when they got into a group. I don't know if you're talking about that.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows us where he started thinking. There's this great distinction between the self and the collective.
Well, and science, too. He's specifically talking about the enlightened.
Yes. But what strikes me is his answer is to withdraw, which is what he did, which was necessary. But remember von Franz saying that Jung realized he only worked on the inner side of the process and not the outer side of the process. Because I think these ideas were so vulnerable that he had to protect himself from the collective. And that's always true, it's just he makes it black or white. I think the ultimate challenge is to take what you've discovered and take it to the crowd. After the egg hatches.
I mean, in his life, eventually.
Yeah, but still didn't really investigate, say, the relationship of inner world to politics or the inner world to...
In a broader
context. He did. He started with the inner world and science. That's about it. But he said specifically to von Franz, I hope future generations take up the question of the relation of the inner world to the outside, which I didn't do, not because I don't think it's important, it's because I only had so much time.
Well, isn't that similar to, I mean, whenever you have an idea or something that's new and you're not really grounded
yeah.
in it, if you share it with other people that don't have a clue, they can... send you in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. He had to do it. But my feeling is it's sort of informed my profession to be a little bit isolationist and not take Jung's work and apply it to social problems, scientific issues, technological issues. A few people have, but not many.
There'd be a natural bias in the direction you took it inwardly because so much deals with the discovery of self
yeah.
processes. I mean, it's just you'd almost have to work to yeah. externalize it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not knocking him. I thought he had to do that, but he felt he wanted to see the work taken to the outside world by subsequent generations, and I don't think it has been. Instead, we have conferences about how many archetypes can dance on the head of a pin, or something like that. But the things that my profession was up to talk about, it's just, you guys have too much time on your hands.
I put down what I thought was the enlightened or the academic.
Yeah.
Is that what he
I think in a way the whole thrust of European thought, because soon existentialism was born and that really carried the day for many years, maybe even still, although I think it's becoming reevaluated. That's just my own personal thought. So he carries Izdebar. Now I'm on 283. Holy smokes, you got through the whole page. 283, first column. He carries Izdebar back to the world. he wonders whether he can get Istvar in the house, but he says then, oh, I can because a fantasy takes up no space. See, there again is the reduced understanding. A fantasy takes up your whole life. Now comes a step which we will be wrestling with for a couple of pages. He puts Istvar into an egg and puts him in his pocket. See, that's pure inflation. But what's going to come out of that egg then is a new understanding of what Istvar is. And that will be the birth of Jung's grasp of the self and the recognition of the reality of the self. But first he tries to get rid of it, or he tries to usurp its primary hold on him.
And just to talk real quick, that fantasy takes up my space. Just remembering, and I read it in a book called Carol referred to it about, I think it's mnemonics, the new leg of science. They actually have weighed a person before they die and after they die, and the soul does weigh something.
I do. Yeah, I did. Someone did that.
Oh, it's part of a gram or something. But they actually did do an experiment with people right before death and what they weighed.
Yeah, I've heard that. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing in science, on the science. It will. I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be coming under the view of science more and more. Mm-hmm. Right, you were telling us about the brain stuff.
Mm-hmm. I have a question here.
Yeah.
I understand how your spin on this, you know, that he squeezes his Istvar into the size of egg with no difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still looking at this process as essential to carrying that essence of the God forward. You know, getting its essence, that eggness, that.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it as a right thing to do too. Because he's going to transform him. He's going to transform in that egg, and he needs that egg.
Right.
He needs that enclosure.
But I don't think at this point it occurred to him that he has to transform that God. He's just killing God.
Killing?
Keeping him out of effectiveness.
Now, why do you say that?
Keeping him out of effectiveness.
Hmm.
So he takes him. This new place is for healing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what should find healing here. He's carrying him someplace because he wants to heal him, redeem him somehow. That very last sentence there in that paragraph. Then I walk into the welcoming house where this regard should find healing.
Yeah, I think you're right then.
Well, wasn't he speaking of in the past what has caused gods to die was that it became just a fantasy, and now in this case, by becoming a fantasy, it caused healing. So it's the opposite of what you would think. Because like the Greek gods, when they became a fantasy, they were no longer able to have
forces of the world, and the Christian God usurped their power. But what he's saying is,
now I've got this God that I made into a fantasy, which you would think would kill it, but now I'm trying to
work
that way. So
it's
the opposite of what
he redefines
in a way.
The healing is a transformational process.
I think of, we have in the image the dark star, and the dark star is something that appears like it's always destroying, but that's where the healing comes, and the depression, and the...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I still think he's inflated.
Mm-hmm. With no difficulty.
Yeah, with no difficulty, squeeze Izdebar into the size of an egg and put him in my pocket. Now, but I think what you're saying is also true. This would be like saying God is wish fulfillment. See, I put it in my pocket. God is nothing but. In that way, he is parallel with everyone else in Europe at the time. God, Freud certainly would say that, Sartre, Camus, Heidegger, all these intellectuals were saying God isn't the powerful whatever that we think it is, or God doesn't exist at all. But Jung stays with, the difference is Jung stays with that loss, and the loss then transforms itself.
He doesn't totally dismiss it, otherwise he could have left.
Right.
He doesn't
dismiss it, but
he carries the potential of it. That's and
an
agate potential.
Carries that with them. Whether he's inflated
at this point or not, maybe it takes a certain amount of inflation
to
do this thing.
But what I want to sit with is how that was a necessary step. But it was also necessary, I don't know how to put it, it was a necessary step. But see, many people have taken that necessary step. All the European intellectuals took that step. Still today in Europe, I bet you can't find 20 people in a church on a Sunday morning. Certainly in Switzerland, nobody goes to church. These questions don't even exist anymore. So in that sense, Jung was going along that line, but many people went on that line, yet Jung then stayed with the question, kept it a question, and watched it change. So it was an error, but a necessary error in the process of rebirthing the God.
So the error is thinking of the God as only a fantasy.
Yeah. I remember when I was in Zurich, I started working with this woman I worked with. She said, well, what do you feel about God? And I said, well, I'm an atheist. She said, well, that's a good place to begin. If you see it as a beginning. But you have to get to that place, which is an error. But if you don't get to that error, you can't let it be a beginning. Because the old understanding of God has to die. That's what's going on here. And if you can't get past the death of God, then you've lost your central value. I think that's what's going on here.
That makes more sense.
So actually,
and that's part of his Jungian psychology too, is it?
Yeah.
But there's for every evil, there's good. For
yeah.
Mistake, there's a learning, a development. That the gold, we can extract the gold from
Well, we would say an inmate.
Look what he says there in the third paragraph. Historian did initial 48. Thus my God found salvation. He was saved precisely by what one would consider fatal. So there was a fatality to this step. Namely, by declaring him a figment of the imagination. That's Freud. How often has it been assumed that the gods have been brought to their end in this way? Maybe the footnote will help us a little bit here. 115. In the draft. The draft is the first version of this stuff, Carl. In the draft, the sentence reads, like many other gods, and on numerous previous occasions, the god was declared to be a fantasy, and it was thus assumed that he had been dealt with. That's what I was trying to get at.
He doesn't assume the god has been dealt with.
No, but the implication of what he's doing, if he stopped there, would mean that.
Right. So he doesn't lose the essence of the god in this.
Right. Or you might say he rejects an answer, but he keeps the question open. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of folks just reject the answer.
See, I think this is amazing, because here we are at the brink of World War I, and when we look through that, and World War II, and the Star Trek community and all this guys came out of all that desolation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like, I just imagine if you looked at all that, you know, two in one lifetime, two World War, that you would say, it's pretty shitty, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If there is a God, I don't know what
he's not doing his job.
Mm-hmm. And so to come through all that,
mm-hmm.
to me as a neighbor, there's still some hope,
mm-hmm.
and see that there is God. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty strong. It's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Standing and thinking.
Absolutely.
With all that going around.
Yeah. Yep.
And then to have all those philosophers seeing everybody
mm-hmm.
as. You know,
articulating the truth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The image that comes to me is of how when you want to transfer a file, a computer file, sometimes they zip it.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
They condense it into a little egg.
He zipped God, all right.
Zip God. That's great.
Where's that file up?
Google. Yeah, just zip it up.
But I loved my God and took him to the house of men, since I was convinced that he also really lived as a fantasy and should therefore not be left behind. Wounded and sick. So at least at this point, he's saying to Freud, you may call God a fantasy, but it's a fantasy I'm not going to let go of. That will precede him realizing that fantasy is an expression of an image, and that image is an expression of a reality. This, I think, we see his thoughts in process. And then I burden myself with God.
I thought that was interesting. You said his body rocks with heaviness, and he burdened himself with God.
And I love the phrase, my burden lifted me up. See where that is? The paragraph beginning with St. Christopher, go down three lines.
Later in that paragraph, he talks about the outer God making everything heavy and unbearable, but that the inner God lightens everything that's heavy.
Yeah.
And so when God is projected, then it makes everything unbearable and hopeless. But when you find the inner God image, that lightens something. Then you're no longer projecting.
Yeah.
To me, the inflation ends when he decides to put it into the thing. He's inflating, he's carrying this heavy guy. He thinks he's so strong he can do this. but when the inflation does sort of compress you and make you smaller, he does that with this growing idea of the self, too, and makes the God smaller. And you start to get the quotes that you just were cited of how it makes light. And to me, there's a reconnection with reality there, even though she's a passive material. After he's got God in the end, when he talks about he loves this God, he wants to save him. Not going alone.
Right. And he goes from killing God to healing God.
Yeah.
So on the top of 281, many have wanted to get help for their sick God, and then were devoured by the serpents and dragons lurking on the way to the land of the sun. They perished in the overbright day and have become dark men since their eyes have been blinded. Farther down, therefore, if you are clever, take the God with you, then you know where he is. If you do not have him with you in the western lands, he will come running to you at night with clanking armor and the crushing battle axe. See, that again is the desirousness. And that will be where Jung finds the self. So, what we're seeing here is how his, if I can call them, theological considerations have led him to the idea of the self. That will be what he puts in its place. So, you could say he's interiorizing what had been said about God.
So, that's withdrawing the projection.
That's withdrawing the projection, yeah, from God. And so the danger is when you give up God, you get attacked by the serpents. That's the desires. And then we skipped a couple of stories initially, but these are, because I should never say it. You maybe want to talk about that. Where is that? That was for the beginning of the section, Thus My God, Salvation.
Sorry, it's initial 48.
48, you want to say anything there?
It's at the black end, above and below, in the lower, temple-like area.
Sort of a yin-egg and a yang. So his egg has to have both, I guess we could say.
And what's funny is that the black egg's up where you think the head would be, and the gold egg's down where you would think the lower part of the body is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like opposite of what you would think of.
The change.
There's that menorah shape again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of it is just
a shape of a tree.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, the menorah is a kind of tree, right? Is that right? The tree of Zephyr.
I guess it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're in the bedrock. Remember the one where the bedrock all cracked, all coming out of God, came out. So there's that bedrock again in the background.
More stylized.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next initial, you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
The next initial was over on 283, in that first paragraph. I don't know what you say there, maybe the eggs?
Two golden eggs, a doubling again,
mm-hmm.
perhaps.
And then the section we just were looking at.
Tree grows from the egg.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that grows from the egg here is similar to the thing that contained it in the previous image.
That's kind of what we were talking about.
Yeah, image 48 too, I think. Or, no, wait.
No.
Image H, history aid, initial 48.
48, that's, it's that one, isn't it?
That's
48, no?
No.
No, that's 49. That's 48, right? Is it one more back?
That's
40.
That's 40 historiated until 48.
Yes, you're right.
And then 48.2 is the green letter E. And 49 is where we said something seems to grow from the egg that formerly contained it.
So that would be the image of the transformation of the old idea of God into the self. I'll just say one more thing, we'll stop, then I'll pick up with what I'm going to say again next time. You gain everything from the God whom you bear, but not his weapon, since he crushed it. He who conquered needs weapons, but what else do you want to conquer? So I understand that to mean, as he works with the self, its impulsivity is diminished. That's the weapon. So it's the unconscious self that is intrusive and pugnacious. As we understand its intent, it softens. We'll pick up with that again next time. I think we're going to see his wrestling with the God in its dead state, and then particularly when we get to the incantations, we'll see that God is reborn. And it goes from being a fantasy to being something terribly demanding and terribly real. And I don't know, we might not get past... You think we'll get past 286?
Well, there's a lot of images to go through.
So I think if we do get that far, we'll just relax a little bit. So don't worry about reading anything new. We'll take our time with the next. It's really a series of poems and pictures. There's a picture for each. There's about five pictures in there. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome, Carl.